Yo, yo, we are live. Actually, we're not live. We're pre-recorded. it is Wednesday. It is Wednesday. This is the public episode of Red Pill Tamales. I know y'all heard about the show, man. I know y'all heard about the Discord. I know y'all heard about this mysterious Tia. What is this Tia? Many people are talking about this Tia. Whose Tia is it anyway?
They call it.
They call it the Tamale Intelligence Agency. And this is Red Pill Tamales. I'm your host, Chingo Bling. We got Juan Perez in the building. What's up, Big
Doc? What's up? My voice is a little thrown off.
It's all
messed
good,
up, man. My whole throat, dude. Yeah,
they can hear you. They can hear you. It happens in the summertime. Me too, man. I'm like, I don't know if it's heat exhaustion. I don't know if I'm out of shape. I don't know if, like, obviously it's hot outside, but like this jiu-jitsu class. I mean, I was like hurting her. Like even right now, I got like a little slight like headache. Uh-huh. And shortness of breath. It's not like a big pharma commercial. But when we were rolling at the end of class, I hit a couple moves that I saw on Eddie Bravo's app. So the shit works. I was like, I watched it and I'm there and we're rolling. I'm like, oh shit, I think I could just throw my arm over his neck and reach up under his arm and then boom, 100%. And then boom, swept him. Yo, I hit it on my boy, man. I pulled that move probably like 3-4 times in the little roll,
And what did he say?
He didn't really address that. He was just, oh, okay, good, good. You know, like everything, a lot of the stuff is like, damn, okay, good, you got me. Or he might have been going easy on me because he's more advanced than me. He's bigger, heavier. He's better.
Yeah.
But I was proud of myself, man.
Little improvements.
Yeah, little improvements. Like, you know, I'd get like top position or a little bit of side control. And like I said, I swept them a few times with that 100%. But
my life getting better. He don't even know. Sometimes he's like, man, I had to miss all these classes going up to it. And it's, now you're going back and you're starting to do a lot better.
I mean, I don't know if I'm like a lot better. I'm barely getting back into it. But as you can hear, man, my breath, my breathing, I don't know, man. I think I might have to do one of those VO2 max tests. You heard of those?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Like, I just need to see how out of shape I am. Like, how much condition I need to do. What do I need to do? I don't know. Maybe it's just too hot in that bodega. Because your head just starts hurting. You're just, like, breathing in humidity.
Are we going to do another weight loss challenge? For the Tia?
What was that?
Downstairs.
That might have been the garage opening. Honestly, man, I think I'm on some, like, clean bulk weight gain shit. Like, I want to maybe, you know, get stronger and put on a little bit of weight. But you know, we'll talk about that more on the private episodes Thursdays and Friday. Today, man, we got a whole bunch of topics we're going to get into. For example, Eminem has super TDS. Eminem, the rapper, he's great. I mean, I'm a fan. And I'm having a hard time separating the art from his politics because he's just so Mr. Liberal. He's so Mr. Liberal right now, bro. Like, I really want to hear, like, I've heard his opinions on Trump, how he's just like, dude, when I get to talking about Trump, I just start to lose. He turns into Rachel Maddow. Like, I just start to lose it. I just can't process. And it's like, yeah, you can't freaking think because your whole opinion got assigned to you by the media. And he used to be there's like old footage of him just on Trump's nuts. You know, everybody was like, oh my God, Donald Trump, before like politics became what it is. Mm-hmm. And the media started doing what they do, Operation Mockingbird and intelligence agencies telling them who to go after and what to say. But anyway, there's this video that's going around of Eminem, like all the conservative people are tweeting saying like Trump broke Eminem's brain, like Trump broke Eminem, Trump broke Eminem. Cause he's just like, I just can't, you know,
maybe he's like your opposite. Cause you had the opposite effect that Eminem had.
What do you mean?
Weren't you like first against Trump and and then Eminem's like was
my point about everybody used to be a Trump fan damn near. He was just this American icon, this New York real estate dude who was like the epitome of success, had his name on buildings, great at marketing, great at branding. And then he decided to run for president as a Republican. He started saying uncomfortable, inconvenient things like, if you let everybody in, you won't have a country anymore. Like, you're going to be overrun. We don't know who's coming. you know, America's becoming a dumping ground for the world's problems. And at first you hear, you're like,
they make chalupa bowls that are great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Many are good. Many are good. Many are not. But now I'm at the point, bro, every time somebody jumps on my Twitter and it's like, hey, what about this? Or why don't you talk about how Governor Abbott is putting up drowning devices with saws in between the buoys and all this? And I'm always like, man, could we at least address the fact that not everybody coming is an angel?
Yeah.
Like, you have fighting age men from China. You know what I mean? That's our next, one of our next topics is how they just found in Reedley, California, right outside of Fresno. Man, sorry, y'all. Shortness of breath. Wrestling in humidity is no joke. But yeah, they just found like this illegal lab, bro. Mm-hmm. With like dead mice, mice that had diseases in them, different types of diseases in vials, mm-hmm. yeah. filthy conditions.
Who was it funded by, Chingo?
And California's taxpayers, Governor Newsom was giving them bread. So not only does China have police stations, not only do they get to have police stations over here, labs over here, they send in all kind of people. They get to buy farmland. They get to have like spy dens hiding as consulates. They get to fly their spy balloon over shit, see how the wind blows in your country. They get to do all that. And you're paying for it because they're playing advanced chess, bro.
Not 3D chess.
Yeah, like that. 3D chess. They got a game over there called Go. And it's like Chinese chess, basically. And they're not only like step-by-step circumventing and being subversive. They're not like stealing your intellectual property, like bootlegging all your military stuff. Like, you're paying for it too.
Yeah.
Sorry, y'all. We got construction going on.
We got construction stuff.
So that's like the Greek tragedy of it all, man. They're so slick with it that California taxpayers are paying for these labs that are growing stuff and possibly might be leaking some stuff, spreading some stuff, getting ready.
And it's not like this was a new factory. That was a factory that was up and running during the pandemic, by the way.
I mean, fentanyl. How much fentanyl coming through the border? If you're Latino, all you're not it. Allowed that.
All of it.
A whole lot of it. Chemicals. They got labs. They're in cahoots with the cartels. They're working with the cartels. It's just a lot of stuff. And I could have swore when I was in hot water, if y'all want to go back and do y'all's research, I mean, when this show first started, that's one of the things we kept saying. We got to roll with Trumpitas over Brandon because Brandon is soft on China, amongst other things. Why? Because he was getting that shmoney. He was getting them bribes. I was like, meanwhile, Trumpitas, he at least, like, China ain't even our biggest threat. They ain't even the biggest threat. But at the time, it was like Trumpitas actually is going to put tariffs and start to renegotiate some of these deals. And we need to start like decoupling because, dude, they make a lot of our medicines, antibiotics, pharmaceuticals.
Hmm. Yeah.
They, you know.
Well, if you want to see what the United States will look like in a year or so, you look at Europe and what's going on over there. And if you want to look at what other states are going to look like soon, the way we're headed, especially with California people coming over to Texas, no offense. But like, look at California, the way that whole state is kind of like getting fucked up in certain places. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's like, especially the way it was ran during the pandemic and everything. Like, that's the way they want to have it. And then how a lot of criminals right now are getting released from prison because they're going soft on some of the crimes that they're doing. And if you're just getting re-released to do even worse.
And if you're a male rapist, all you got to do is say, no, I identify as female. And then they put you in the women's prison.
Yeah, but even prisoners now, even prisoners have more moral values than actually common sense regular people, normies. Because now a lot of those prisoners... Now, what some of them are doing are saying that they identify as women to go in to fight off the ones that are actually going over there,
the pervs.
to do the pervs to stop them from doing that to the women.
So they're having to take justice in their own hands.
Yeah, and then this is how you know that's happening is because now you have other I forgot which politician it was. You have a politician like, we got to stop some of them from saying they identify as a woman because they're going over there and they really don't. but they weren't talking about the ones that were
assaulting.
They're talking about the protector ones. That's why I'm like, what is going on? Like that, that's your first thing is to stop the abuse of happening to the men that were actually trying to abuse the women in there. That's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah. Sometimes, bro, what happens is like some of these progressive policies, they like sound good and nice on paper until you read a basic economics book and you start to see the repercussions of like, for example, New York, I think they first, Mayor Adams said, we're going to set aside $1 billion to house illegal migrants, whatever you want to call them, in New York City. Now they're like at $4.2 billion. They're like at $4.2 billion already of just spending taxpayer money to make sure they all got a hotel room. Mm. And then you got, you know, homeless citizens, veterans, people can't pay their rent. Everything's getting expensive. You got crime getting bad. The subway's dangerous. You have all these issues, but they're having to deal with this tidal wave of humanity. And Latinos, for the most part, we've been already kind of trained to, I know I was trained to they use your empathy against you and you ignore the reality of like, who's coming? Are they really abusing our system? Are they jumping the line? You might have some nice people from Poland that's been waiting. Somebody's grandparents, man, been putting their paperwork. And they just trying to come over here for whatever reason. But you got all these other people like, nah, man, climate change. That's why I'm here. Or like, El Salvador getting too safe. I got to come over here. or like some people theorize, like, they're opening up their mental institutions. They're dumping their prisons.
They're not sending their best.
They're not sending their best. Boy, people got mad, bro. I know I was triggered. I wrote that man like a 4-page letter. Dear Donald Trump, you have awakened the silent giant. Oh, you've really done it now with your racism. But guess what, man? Unfortunately, man, like he was right. It's just common sense stuff. Like you get some of these countries, bro, like name one. I don't know if it's the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, France, Germany, UK, Italy. They're all having these problems depending if they're like what year they decided to take a whole bunch of refugees or these countries, war-torn countries, yeah. Civil wars, and they just start taking on this onslaught of Somalians or people just washing up ashore in the beach in Italy. And Italy got their own problems of inflation, expensive utilities, unemployment. Like they got their own issues and they already upset. And then you see all these people waltzing in and it's like, yo, like when we took this little trip to Europe back during the Trump era when we were working and the dollar was strong, we were able to take a whole trip. Like when we went to Italy, bro, we went to go see Rome, the Colosseum. Mm-hmm. Man, I swear to God, bro, I saw more Africans than Italians. Mm. I ain't seen no Romans. I saw Ethiopians slanging everything. Hey, my friend. Hey, where are you from? Mexican. Oh, America, Texas. Hey, check it out. Hey, like they speak Italian, Russian. Like they pick up all that shit. You go to Paris, bam, Indian cats jumping out the bushes. Hey, man, you want a bottle of wine? Hey, your picnic. Man, my partner sell blankets and they got keychains, Eiffel Tower keychains. And it's like hella diverse. I saw some French, but I also saw many other people many places.
Yeah, what would you say that that's more or less like that's going to be here soon?
I mean, America already kind of is like very diverse in many places, but I think what you're getting at is like, are you going to see these honor killings, beheadings? Are you going to see somebody with a machete? Like in France, you saw them people going at it in the park. One dude started stabbing people, kids and parents and shit at the park. You know, you say something out of line that insults Muslims, boom, they're ready to chop your head off in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
So, está cabrón, and things are getting a little too diverse.
Like, yeah, like in a perfect world, guys, like, it's not that we're just trashing everybody that's been coming over, but it's
we're not saying
it's one of those things where it's country. Like, yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, in a perfect world, if it were all like people that were just wanting to better themselves or go to work or whatever, that's one thing. But the one thing that they're preying on is that they're trying to tell you that that's all that's coming over, that they're all wanting a better life. They're all wanting, that's what they're selling you. But the messed up thing is that the people that are coming over, it's a big mixture of the people we don't want, where eventually it's going to cost us. There's going to be a cost that we're going to end up paying, where it's going to be like, dang, if we would have stopped them then, this wouldn't be happening now. And we're getting there soon. And that's one of the things you guys got to look at whenever you're looking at all this stuff happening all at once, where it's like, what's the real issue there? Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like,
Chingo, you're a hypocrite. Whatever happened to they can't deport us all. Da, 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 da. And I think you just, you summed it up. You hit the nail on the head, bro. It's like, they're selling you one thing. You know, these are like the Beto O'Rourke's, right? Governor Abbott is pushing in pregnant women, and these are just migrants looking for a better life. Like, they're just looking for a better life. They're just looking for a better life. But it's a fascinating rabbit hole to go down. Like, there's this dude named Todd Benzman that has all this intelligence because he's worked in like border type of issues and stuff. So he's interviewed a ton of refugees, people that's on those lists, like all kinds of information, to where he just put out another book called Overrun. And that's the side that you don't see when you really see the reality of like, whoa, fighting aged men, or like, wait. So these people aren't really married. No, they just heard that if they were married, they could get priority. Or like, wait, so they rent children. You're saying that they come and fake like they're a little family, and they fake like they have a baby, and they really don't. Mm-hmm. And it's like, those are the really sad realities of what's really going on. So your boy Fauci, man, they trying to Rand Paul is going to try to submit him for a criminal prosecution.
Yeah, they need to, because the last hearing that they just had with do you know the other doctor's name? I don't remember the other guy that got on the stand. The one that basically outed Fauci on the stand was like, I do believe, you know, he was conducting all the wrong stuff. This is what we did. This is what we did behind closed doors. We did do experiments on orphans and stuff like that. Like, this is what we did here, and this is what we did here. And he's just basically outing Fauci completely, where it's like, hey, Fauci just took the stand, said none of that was going on. He didn't overreach.
Senator, you don't know what you're talking about. Senator, I resent what you're saying, Senator.
I am science.
Wait, are you insinuating, Senator, that we were running studies with taxpayer money of gain-of-function research, Senator?
And that was the messed up thing. And this is how crazy, and this is how corrupt that department was, is that before they would do any kind of gain-of-function, this dude would go to certain people to update the definition of gain-of-function to make it stand where he wasn't breaking any laws. And then they would pop that up on Google. Nobody noticed it, because who the hell is looking up gain of function? And then when they had to take the stand, well, you know, no, I didn't do that,
Senator.
And that's whenever they were like, bro, this isn't what the definition was, but you're saying that now that's what it is. That's what it says. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
That's how deep the rabbit hole goes, where it's like, bro, like, this stuff is that corrupt. It's that corrupt.
Yeah, they changed the definition of what a vaccine is, what a vaccination is. I mean, that one of the things too, bro, like shout out to Juan Big Stoner. He's a member of the TIA. He's recommended a few books. He sent me a few books. And a lot of them, whether it's like why government schools are bad for your kids, or different economic books, mm-hmm. a lot of them have this common recurring theme that the government sucks at doing certain shit, and bureaucracy and bureaucrats tend to screw things up. Like, whether it's like economics, like the actual repercussions of, like, for example, oh, we're gonna do rent control, that way can't nobody go over a certain amount on rent. It's like, it sounds cool, right? To people, like, hell yeah, that's what we've been needing. You need to keep that rent at a certain level. But what you don't understand is like the true outcomes of, like, okay, you sure you want to do that? All right, bet. Well, here's what's really going to happen. You're going to end up with a bunch of abandoned buildings, you know, because there's no incentive for the landlords. There's no incentive for them to upkeep their shit. So now they're going to be slumlords. And now everyone's going to be competing for like a smaller supply of, that's just one example, right? But when I'm talking about like with Fauci, is that the common theme again is like when you got these government officials who like fail and just get a promotion, they never get fired, they never get demoted. Like he's one of, I think, the highest paid or one of the highest paid government officials. Nobody elected him, and he has all this power. He's making all this, all these decisions and suggestions. And the minute you put him on the stand, it's like, well, hey man, didn't you say we should shut down schools? Didn't you say we should shut down businesses? Didn't, when you're in Trump's ear, that's one of my pet peeves too about Trump. Like, he's an imperfect instrument. You know, he's the best we have when it comes to like the populist type of perspective and like national security or whatever. Because I believe he's going to get the being in the what do you call it, general election anyway. Even though Vivek has some great things,
yeah.
But anyway, this dude Fauci, man, he's an example of like these government bureaucrats have been around for like 40, 50 years since before the AIDS epidemic. Allegedly, got a lot of people hurt and killed off of some of the experimental drugs that they were like forcing on these people. They had that whole movie Dallas Buyers Club, and these are the same people that's been in the government making moves with pharma, patents
for years,
trademarks, kickbacks, book deals, speaking tours. You know what I mean? You a consultant for this company. If you ever get fired from the government, you go work at Pfizer. Like,
to sum it up, to think of it like this: for a guy to go on the stand and on an interview and say, "I am science. Science is Fauci. And if you go against me, you go against science." That's how crazy this dude was, and that's how monopolized the whole medical and science field was, to the where it's like there's a chain of command. If you don't do what these people say, you get canned or you get fired, you lose your medical license. There's not a lot you can do when you're in the medical field. They tell you to do something, when you're in that chain, you're screwed. Like, you got to do it or you lose your license. That's why a lot of doctors have moved. Yeah,
you won't get published.
That's why a lot of people have moved outside the country to go to different countries where they have more freedom to do certain things, because they actually want to help. Like, for instance, with Israel's a good friend of ours. He has pancreatic cancer. You know, he's doing the stuff here, but he even said there was a hospital over where was it, Tijuana?
I think Tijuana.
In Tijuana, that Eddie Bravo had, you know, recommended to him and got him hooked up. Israel said the difference between that hospital and the hospital here is insane, where it's like over here, it's like they're just prepping you to die, when over there, it's more like they're like, dude, you could beat this. This is our science on this. This is what we think. This is the medical part of this. Look, this is how they broke it down for him to try to help him, because they're able to do that. Over here, it's like doctors are so incentivized. Doctors are being paid off. Doctors are just like, you're just a number. You're just a number. Get in line. You're gonna die soon. Basically, that's that whole field. That's why it was so monopolized, to the point where it's like, dude, y'all gotta look at like the direction everything's going in, and how everything is so monopolized, and how these bigger companies own all these other companies, and that's dangerous, because now they can. Before, when it was like unthinkable, like, man, there's a lot of like agendas and stuff, and people are like, those are conspiracies, bro. They're not conspiracies anymore, because now everything is monopolized. Now it's like whoever's at the top and whatever they want to accomplish can now do it, because they own your banking, they own your medical, they own your finances, they own your food, they own everything. So now they can push whatever they want to push. That's the thing that people aren't talking about. That's the thing that nobody's looking at. And then this is a prime example that finally Fauci might have to answer for some of this stuff.
Yo, RFK Jr., who's running for president as a Democrat, bro, he put out a fire book. It's called The Real Anthony Fauci. Yo, they got the audio book version. That's what I got. There's a lot of information, and it is mind-blowing, bro, where they just connect the dots and really break it down. And then speaking of scientists who get blackballed and, like, they try to like get them fired and all that shit, is Dr. Deborah So. I forget what kind of scientist she is, but basically she started noticing in the academia world that they, when they started pushing all like this gender ideology, this new like, well, technically gender is this and the word that, and this is how you feel in your mind, and da, 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 and they start trying to change everything. She was like, yo, I can't go along. This is propaganda. Like, she started seeing how they were bullying scientists, how like you wouldn't have your tenure at a university. You couldn't get published no more, and you basically got outcast. So she basically had other doctors and scientists tell her on the side, like, look, you're gonna have to just keep your mouth shut and go along with this shit, or you about to have just a whole lot of problems. And so,
dude, during the pandemic, I have some friends that are nurses, and you know, I'm not gonna say who they are, but like, but they were telling me, and some of them work in a NICU and shit, and they were telling me they were so understaffed. People weren't going because they needed a jab to be able to work there and stuff like that. And they were breaking so many rules because of what the higher ups were telling them. Like, you know, you got to wear the mask. And they're like, this isn't healthy for us to wear the mask this long and this to do. They already knew that stuff. And dude, basically what they told me, because a lot of the protocols were broken and a lot of the things were done wrong, mm-hmm. like in their opinion, a lot of babies died because they couldn't get to them.
They said a lot of people couldn't get their cancer treatments.
Because they were getting forced to do the jab. People were not going to take the jab. On top of that, they couldn't go to work. And on top of that, babies were lost like over and over again because they didn't have enough time to be attention to like 50 babies. And it's like 30, like there's like 20 people there. There's not enough time. And a lot of those are like critical cases and they're trying to like keep up with everything. Not enough. And it's all because they were pushing some type of agenda. Like, y'all don't think about that stuff, the after effects of certain things. Y'all just think about, like, you know, wear your mask to protect the guy next to you and all this stuff. It's like forcing people to get the jabs just to go to work and stuff like that. It costs a lot of people lives. And now that we found out, a lot of people should be pissed off that now you're finding out that stuff's never even worked. And now people are just like, oh, look, it did. I guess they were wrong on that. Oh, no, y'all should be fucking pissed. And people should be fucking, I don't know, like there should be more, what is it called, protests about that stuff and holding people accountable like Fauci.
The medical tyranny.
Something. Rather than like, oh my God, our fucking LGBTQ flag needs to go up on the fucking pole and blah, 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 blah. It's like, that's the last fucking thing y'all should be thinking about after all the stuff they just put us through, all the stuff they continue to put us through.
All the shit they got planned for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
What else you got?
It's trippy. Another thing too that I want to add to what you just said about like the repercussions of these decisions and agendas is a gentleman who I've known in the past. Anyway, I was chopping it up with him, and he basically was telling me, he's like, bro, I had a multi-million-dollar freight trucking company where he would deliver packages to the mall, where it was like Foot Action, whatever type of store, The Gap. It's just unloading boxes and shit, like 200 trucks, a shit ton of drivers, warehouse employees. And he was like, I was banking it. We were killing it. Everybody was good. I never thought that we would come to the point where basically like lockdowns happen. Can't go to the mall. Okay. Only a minimum amount of people can go in at the same time. Okay, we're going to let 15 people into this Victoria's Secret. 10 of y'all got to wait outside. Okay, this Gucci store only can have 30 people at once or whatever, right? So when you started minimizing the amount of people and that whole flow, well, now you got less packages to deliver. Now you got less deliveries. Now you're trying to figure out what to do with all these extra drivers, employees, and trucks. So he had to start getting rid of trucks and like laying people off and all this. And he went from making like, you know, a couple million a month to just like, and he said many people, like colleagues, other people that had similar businesses had to just shut down, go out of business.
It's a small business, right?
I mean, yeah, technically. But
see, look, that's the thing that we're talking about.
And it was a state. It was just governors and politicians who don't know how to run real businesses, probably never worked at a real business. They just politicians. And they're literally saying, you're essential, you're not essential, you got to shut down, you can't be open, you on curfew, yada, yada, yada.
And let me break it down to y'all like this for some of y'all that don't have time to research this or anything. Just to break it down in a grand scope of things. If these small businesses go out of business, if we are forced to then have to just go to the bigger companies, the Amazons and all these different things, again, monopolized to follow somebody else. That, like, there's certain laws that are in place, but they're just ignoring a lot of them where it's like, it can't be monopolized like this. And it's been monopolized like this under certain companies. And all I'm saying is, if a lot of these small businesses are not funded by, you know, that's why a lot of people like support local. Dude, support local for real, because they're the ones that are helping not give all the power to a one individual where, like, you're just having to beg for whatever they give you. Like, because eventually it's going to get to there where inflation's going up and there's only one place to go. And if there's only one place to go and there's not, you know, other places to go, they can raise prices, they can drop them, they can do whatever they want with you. And you're just out of luck. And then you're kind of just begging for whatever they give you. And we're just heading down that road.
So basically, another way to rephrase that is, like, the American middle class stands in the way of what the globalists are attempting to do, which is like some type of global communism, like central bank coin, social credit score, tracking all your transactions, make sure you're a good little boy and you got the right opinion and you ain't going against the information we given you.
Yeah, like, you can't be like that Sikh. What's that? That's the next Sikh one, right? The Sikh.
Yeah, yeah. The Sikh store owner. It looked like a bodega in New York or something. Was it New York?
Yeah, so maybe y'all saw the viral video going on social media where, you know, the guy's trying to take all the cigarettes in the trash can and some guy's in the back like, don't do it. Don't do nothing. Don't do it. Just let him go. Just let him go. And they stop him, take the guy to the ground, and then they just hit him with the, you know,
little piñata action.
Yeah, it wasn't even hard, honestly. I mean, I was looking at it, I was like, bro, I've seen more cop beatings and other things happen where it was way worse than that. Like, this was just like, it's one of those, it was like a spank, basically. Like, I'm going to beat you with the stick, but not like super hard, but I'm going to beat you so that you know this is bad type of shit. And you know what I mean?
People watching, like, let me hit you with a stick like that. See if you think it's just a light punishment.
Well, I don't know. Let me see what I can steal from you.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. The point is a lot of these big progressive cities with the woke DAs, George Soros DAs, they're just like revolving door. They say a cash bail reform because cash bail's racist because some people don't have the money and they're figuring out how much bail you got to pay based on how much money you have. So it's a whole racket. Goddamn, excuse me.
Sorry, he's having ingestion problems, chest problems.
I'm still trying to like... Dude,
he's still trying to catch his breath.
Bro, I want you to like see this class, like just sit there. Like when I have to sit there when my daughter's in class, like I'm sweating and I'm like by a fan by the open door bay.
Yeah.
Granted, at that point it's like 4-ish, but at 10:30 a.m. the warm up. I mean, you're running around. All right, push-ups. Okay, shrimp back and forth.
Granted, from 1 to 4 right now in Houston, it's like 106 or something.
Hotter than a summer, my bitch. And then your drilling technique, and you just feel like, oh man, I don't know if I'm dehydrated. It's like, even your rolling part, the person you doing technique, even they're like, hey man, I think I'm a little dehydrated, bro. I'm gonna go get some water. I'm like, yeah, that's not. And they're like, hey man, I'm seeing spots. One of my people I was training with, he's like, I don't know if it's my blood sugar. He's like, I think I gotta go get a Powerade or something. And I was like, bet, bro, let me get some water too while you're at it.
Yeah,
but anyway, so what I was saying is a lot of these big cities that want to be soft on crime,
New York, California,
yeah, New York, San Francisco, LA, I don't know if Austin is like Harris County, Houston. Basically, like people have to start taking justice into their own hands. Like, yo, bro, this is my family store. You're coming in here, you're just grabbing shit with both hands, putting it in a bucket, a bin. You're trying to walk up out of here. And it's like those like little Indian store owners and stuff, like that shit that they got to go buy, like all them Snickers and Doritos and all that and sodas, like
small business owners, man,
they got to, not only they got to pay that rent, they got to pay security, they got to pay employees, electricity, utilities, depending on the city, they're on your ass about your sign. You can't have your sign like that. You might be having fines and things like that. Plus they let people, they're letting people come in and just start stealing.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if y'all thinking, man, the insurance takes care of that. Well, not all the time, man. It doesn't. And it's hard to even get the insurance to go through with a lot of that stuff. It's not like they get it right away.
And if you're at Walgreens in San Francisco, they in there every day.
Yeah.
That's why like so many like retail outlets, shopping districts, malls in San Francisco, They're like, nah, cuh, come on, man. These hoodlums coming in here, these thugs coming in here. You really gonna have a glass vitrina like with watches and jewelry? Nah, man, they're gonna waltz up into that mall. Like in New York City, I think it was the 70s when it was smash and grab, smash and grab. It was just like little groups of people, large gatherings. We won't call them gangs. Don't call them gangs.
They're not their best.
They're not their best. It's like Harlem did not send their best today. But basically, smash and grab. I'm talking about Spanish Harlem. Spanish Harlem. You know, right? But like smash and grab was a thing. And then Giuliani had to come in. At first, he was a prosecutor. He had to take out the mob families. Mm-hmm. And then he ran for mayor of New York, America's mayor. And he started cracking down on all that crime. Next thing you know, you could go to Times Square. You can invest. You could open up a business. You could open up a hotel. You could put a chili. You know what I mean? You could take your kids, go watch some theater.
Now it's reverting back.
Back to bullshit.
Now it's going back to the bullshit. But here's the thing. To tie all that into... With the seat guy, like, dude, this case is very important. Like, these things, like, there needs to be a lot of stands made right now. Like, if you're just like the normal person, just like, whatever, dude, I'm just gonna film it, get the content.
I just focus on what I gotta focus, and besides, neither side cares about us, and it's two wings of the same bird.
Understand this: if the small business owner, the gas station that's on the corner that you rely on because whenever everything else is closed, but you need something. If it shuts down, that's no longer available to you. So, like, just imagine a lot more of those shutting down than you as the normal person that's probably like, man, it's just on my corner. You know, it happens all the time. It's just normal. If it keeps happening, those small business owners will stop doing business there. And when that happens, you no longer have that place of business to go to anymore. Like, they took those Walmarts out of what, Atlanta? What was it? Where was it?
I don't know.
There was one where Walmart just pulled out all their things because they were getting robbed too damn much.
Was it Chicago, man?
It was probably Chicago, where they just took it out and they're like, man, what are y'all doing? It's like, bro, they kept getting robbed. And yes, they probably had insurance or whatever, but if they keep getting robbed, it's not lucrative for them to stay there.
Yeah, you're going to the store.
Then you lose it and they're like, oh, what happened? It's like nobody stood up. Nobody stopped anybody from doing it. So why would they stay?
People don't understand cause and effect. You ever go into a store, bro, where like everything is behind keys and glass, like everything, you need a worker for everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, bro, everything. Mm-hmm. Like we were at this Walmart. My wife needed some nail glue. And me and my 15-year-old, we went and we're in that section. And it's like, well, fuck, I need some of this Just for Men right here for my beard. That shit behind glass. Like you need a worker. You know, like,
and they're understaffed, so it's gonna take an hour
for the nail glue for like glue to fix your damn fingernail.
Yeah, and y'all gotta pay attention to the seat too, because like these are the cases that are really important right now, especially the road we're going. Him, the guy on the train station, the train that where he
choked out the guy,
that choked out the guy who saved somebody. Like he took action. Andrew Tate's whole thing. I know some of y'all maybe don't know all the stuff that's going on with him, but the fact that he's out of house arrest and everything just kind of shows you like they don't really have a case for this dude. Like they were trying to make an example out of him. Trump, the stuff they're trying to do to him that they can't think about. Trump and Tate, they have all these different types of like Secret Service groups trying to take these guys down. And the fact that they still haven't had any kind of credible like evidence to put them away just shows like the level of innocence that they kind of have compared to like other people. So that should say a lot more than anything else. Cause dude, if they had dirt on them, they'd be locked up right now. Both of them. Because Trump's got indicted. What?
Got indicted, man, once? Every time they find something on Biden,
every time they find something
on Joseph Raheem bribing, Joe bribing, every time they're like, oh man, they got 10 million from over here. And this person got recordings of them from the Ukraine thing. And then he fired the what's the name? Biden put pressure on the Ukraine mm-hmm. people. So basically, you received all this money from Ukraine oligarchs, mm-hmm. and then now all of a sudden, America's sending billions, millions every time you look. Every week, another defense package for the spring offensive. Another defense package. Oh, they need more jets, and they don't even have time to train their soldiers, the Ukrainian. Like volunteers and people that they draft in, they don't have time to train them the way, like, how America is. Mm-hmm. Like, look, man, this is how you got to do it. This is how you do war. This is how you fight a war. Then you have your air support, your ground. This is how you got to be trained to do all this shit. These people, man, they just handing them a gun. Hey, wait, taxi, ven para acá. And they just like, bro, I don't know how to do this shit.
Yeah. So, like, basically, these are all, like, important things to pay attention to, because depending on how these court cases go, depending on how these people are viewed, like, this is slippery slope if something bad happens to them. Like, the Sikh that defending his store, the guy that choked out the guy on the train station, all these people that they're technically, back in the day, they would have been the good guys. And, like, now they're getting, like, damn near persecuted.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, if we start going down this path, it's going to incentivize the criminal element, and it's going to fucking make everybody, like, all the actual people that want to help, make them not help. And it's going to be terrible.
Especially with, like, the mental health problem we have in America, with, like, people living on the streets, got all type of, like, psychotic things going on. They need help. Their loved ones, I don't know where their loved ones are, gave up on them, or they don't want help from their loved ones. But, like, some of them are on drugs, some of them got a knife, and some of them talk greasy on the subway. Like, I'm ready to kill a MF up in here. BITCH, you better give me your sandwich, and you ain't finna do SHIT, and all this type of stuff. And then finally, somebody gets up and put them little white belt two stripes on them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we in the gym, man, putting in that training, bro.
About to get that third stripe, dog.
Yeah, man, the shit. You know what's funny, bro? There's this youngster in the class. I don't know how old he just turned. Honestly, bro, he might have just turned maybe 18.
For the story, we'll say 19.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't gonna lie, bro. Like, I need to ask him next time I see him. Like, hey, how old did you turn? He might have just turned 17, honestly, for all I know. But he's a young man. And I guess there's this tradition I didn't know about where Uncle Tony, the head coach, he was basically one, sick him, like, get on him. Shit. And then now he's rolling with you. And then basically, all right, now let's just say the young man has, like, is on top, has his back showing. Okay, Chingo, boom, you go take his back. Bow, seatbelt. Boom, put my hooks in. Now we're rolling around and he's trying to escape and get away. And then somebody else, bam. So just like a shark tank, like the whole class, bow, bow, happy birthday, bow, happy birthday, das, das, das. But he's got the gas tank. So he was just, I mean, he was warmed up. And if anything, I was tired.
Chingo was tired of like 20 seconds of action.
Yeah, I need to catch my breath after this. But hey, this is the Wednesday RPT, man. If you want to join the community, join the Discord, join the Thea, join the chat, hit us up, man. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/redpilltamales.
There's more episodes throughout the week over there. So if you would like this, go over there. There's going to be more episodes.
And the Thursday, Friday episodes are way more John Blaze. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, yeah. Because we don't get canceled on here. You know what I'm saying?
Because honestly, like, we probably won't even turn on the camera. We just like, go, because Juan Perez is a comedian. Where can they find you, man?
Juan Perez comedian at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. All that. TikTok too.
Todo. And on the road, on stage. I'm going to be hosting for Louis the Singer. I got to prepare for that, man. I got to reach out. I got to reach out and get a hold of their DJ and see what kind of games and contests and crowd participation and, you know,
you can bring back the wet t-shirt contest.
Like, hey, do my ladies run this mother trucker? I don't know how much time I got to do. But anyway, this Saturday in Dallas, hosting for Louis the Singer, I want to do a good job so that they could be like, hey, bro, we going on a world tour. You ready? Pack your bags. And I'll be like, hold on now. How far are we going? How long?
Then you get Pitbull. Hey, are you going international now?
I remember when Pit first, like, went on his first international trip. And he was like, hey, man, you want to come do my merch? And I was like, man, I don't want to be the merch guy. I was like, man, y'all kill it out there, man. Thank you for the opportunity, man. But I still got my little dream. And I'm,
bro, that's like one step back for the two steps forward.
What do you mean? Like take a step back to
do that?
Yeah, I know. But I think, I mean, everybody, all the fellas he took on that road trip, I'm sure they all made sacrifices. I'm sure many of them had kids and wives and girlfriends. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I just had to kind of follow my heart. Like, man, you my boy, bro. Please don't take this the wrong way. Like, it's not that I don't mind you being my boss, nothing like that. But, you know, it's just kind of like, man, I kind of want to just keep grinding on my own over here, struggling if need be. But, but yeah, that's a tricky one, right? But, yeah. Hey, it's all good. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And to all the members of the Thea, I'll see you. And we'll
sign up
you
for Patreon.
For sure. That way you get the bonus episodes Thursday and Friday. I los guacho cucaracho. Peace out.